Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. It may look like I'm surrounded. Yeah, I'm surrounded. You're right. I'm surrounded. I'm surrounded by the love of God. I'm immersed in the love of God. I'm surrounded by God and God alone. I want to thank the praise team for bringing us into the presence of Almighty God and reminding us that we are surrounded not by the enemy, but by God Almighty. I don't know if that gives you joy, but it gives me joy. It gives me pleasure to know that God is ever present and ever close by. Let me thank my good friend, Pastor Bushner, even in his absence, for allowing me the opportunity to come and address the people of God who call themselves a message of hope in a hopeless society. Jesus. There still remains an enclave of individuals who believe in the blessed hope. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Because God is good all the time. We have been friends and classmates for quite some time. Won't tell you how far back we go because you might want to guess his age. But it's a privilege for me to be with you here. I believe it's my first time coming to you at the Message of Hope in this kind of a capacity. I therefore bring you greetings from Southeastern Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. That's not too far from here. Dr. Michael Owusu is the president. The chief executive secretary is Pierre Francois. And the chief financial officer is Emmanuel Charles. On behalf of Southeastern Conference, the executive committee, the directors and staff, we bring you greetings. We want you to know that on a daily basis, when we have worship, and we do have worship on a daily basis, we pray for you. We pray for all the constituent churches. And we hope and pray that you pray for us too. For we need your prayers just as much as you need ours. You pray for me? I pray for you. Yes. We need each other. We need each other. One old hymn says, I need the prayers of those I love, those I love. Without further ado, let me ask you to bow your heads with me as we open the Word of God. As we have been reminded that we are surrounded, Lord, take over our hearts. Take over our minds. Lord, feed us with your holy word. I pray in Jesus' name. Let all God's children say, amen, 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 amen. For this early afternoon's discourse, and it is early afternoon, amen. Don't know what time you get done, but I guess I see 45 minutes there, so it's time for me to speak up and shut up. I take you to the book of St. Luke, the New Testament book of Luke, chapter 15. A very familiar story, a very familiar story. I've just entitled this Stay in the House, but you could entitle it whatever you want. After you hear the message, you can entitle it whatever you want. Luke chapter 15. If you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, I heard one or two individuals. Luke chapter 15, whether it's by analog or digital, Luke chapter 15. What book did I say?
Luke chapter
15. All right, at least you got that part down. There are 22 verses in the story that Jesus told, starting with verse 11. You know the story well. Talks about the prodigal son. Well, let me also say that the word prodigal means generous, or it could even mean frivolous. Let me go ahead and say that it's not just the son that is a prodigal, but the father is also a prodigal. Because the father is generous. If you miss anything in this story, don't miss the generosity of the father. Our families are under attack. Our families are under attack. By the way, when you invite me, because I'm the Family Life Director for the Southeastern Conference and also the Prayer Ministries Director, you will get family sermons, or you'll get prayer sermons, or you'll get family and prayer sermons, because the family that prays together, praise the Lord. So you cannot dissect one from the other. You can't separate or segregate one from the other. A praying family is a strong family. We are bombarded by the enemy. From day one, from the Garden of Eden, the enemy is desperately trying to separate and conquer the family. I want to say to you right now, if there is anybody in here that is undergoing stress in their family, welcome. Welcome to the life on planet Earth. You must have stress in the family, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have stress in your family because a married couple are two imperfect people trying to have a perfect union. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. A marriage consists of two imperfect people, a husband and wife, trying to have a perfect union. And then children come along and complicate this even a little bit more. So while you're trying to understand your spouse, here comes a different personality, which is a collaboration of you both and the grandparents and the great grandparents and the societal influence. And you're trying to make it in this world. Luke 15, 22. Jesus is preaching, and I like Jesus' preaching because he always preaches with a story. And it seems like we enjoy stories more than anything else. I enjoy a story. Thanks to the gentleman who did the children's story. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That was my grandson trying to do that. That long jump. And as he passed by me, he said, "Granddad, I didn't have enough space to do a run-up." I noticed that you made them jump from there and they didn't start from over. Well, yeah, all right. But I'll say this to you. If he did it, then I would immediately call his father and says, "Listen, we've got an athlete here. We've got a long jumper here. we need to make some money." No. Let's stay focused. Stay focused. God will take care of you. 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 When a door is closed, believe it, my God will open up many more doors. And if he doesn't open a door, he'll open up the windows. And every building that I have seen have more windows. Keep trusting. Keep holding on. When all of this is done, you can testify they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Don't stop trusting. Don't stop trusting. Because my God has something in the works that is wonderful, that will blow your minds. Just keep trusting Almighty God. A certain man had two sons. Is that what your Bible reads? Luke 15. I'm back at Luke 15. Stay with me. Luke 15, 22. A certain man had two sons. I love the story because I've got two sons. I don't have time to tell you all my story, but before I got married, I wanted to have sons. Because there are a whole lot of women in the world and not a lot of men. And so for those of you women who already have your own man, hang on to him for dear life. Because there are not enough of us to go around. A certain man had two sons, the Bible says. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, notice the young boy's respect." He didn't come out saying, "Yo, bro." He came out and he addressed his father in a civil and polite manner. But not every time that you get addressed in a civil and polite manner that the request is going to be civil and polite. There's an enemy that is without the family, and the devil can infiltrate, and there are problems inside the family. Listen to this. Listen to this. Because it seems like the family is running smoothly. But every family has its challenges. Every family. Let me say that again. So those of you who are in families and you're having challenges, welcome to planet Earth. Every family has its challenges. Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. The young man is saying to his father, Daddy, you're taking too long to die. And I need to live my life. And you just keep on living and living and living and living. And if you continue this, I'm not going to be able to get my inheritance until I'm an old man. So right there and then, he is disrespecting his father by saying, you're living too long. I need to collect my patrimony right now. Divide up the stuff. I'm not waiting for the will. Divide up the stuff now and give me mine. As a matter of fact, if anybody should be asking for that, the older son should be. Amen. Notice that it was the younger son. I stopped by to let you know that even in a good flowing family, there are challenges. There are challenges. And I'm talking to the right group because I love it. I love when I come to a church and there are babies. I love when I come to a church because this is not a typical Adventist church. Because the typical Adventist church is full of individuals that are 60 plus. And them folk don't have no babies. But when you come to a younger church, they are growing by multiplying. Huh? Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So I know somebody, hopefully in this congregation or somebody online, will be blessed from what we are talking about. The younger of the two boys came and says, Daddy, give me the patrimony now. By the way, a word to the parents. Leave an inheritance for your children. I've listened to parents who have said, I'm not leaving anything for my children because my parents didn't leave anything for me. And so I had to struggle to make it to whatever, then they need to struggle. And I'm not saying no, but one of the reasons there is a class of people that seem to be always above us monetarily is because they leave an inheritance for their children and every generation. Are you with me? Every generation gets a little bit more as they leave something for the next generation. But many of us, we live in an era where everybody has to start from scratch. Here is a father And even though in these 22 verses, a mother wasn't mentioned, I am taking the liberty to say that there had to be a mother. You cannot have two sons. With two fathers. Yeah, I know I'm going to offend somebody. But if it's two fathers, they adopted. Daddy then did not argue with the young man. Because if it were me, I would probably have said, boy, if you're a Jamaican, I'd say, go sit down somewhere. But since you're not, and we just did study a few weeks ago that if you're speaking tongues, you need to have an interpreter. Right. So I would have probably said to the young boy, sit somewhere quietly until it's your turn. The young man didn't respect his father's life, didn't respect the rules at home. By the way, every house needs to have rules. You're quiet. Apart from the fact that the young man wanted his father to die, he was sick of the rules. I understand him. I was 9 years old when I was sick of the rules. This is just oppression. And if you know anything about West Indian parenting, it's, yeah, with a tight fist. And I was the only child, so there were no distractions. No distractions. Their eyes were always on the spot, on me. Always on me. And so at 9, I decided in my mind I was going to run away. I didn't have the presence of mind to ask for my portion. Because I didn't even know that I was entitled to a portion. However, I sat and thought this thing through, and I had decided on a destination, and I was going to run away from my parents, and I was going to go to my aunt's house. And when I thought this thing through, I said, you know what? I better stay where I am. Because knowing my aunt, she's going to take me right back here. And if I think those rules were stringent before I left, yeah. So this young man is of age and he's asking his father for his portion of whatever goods. And the father did not argue with him. Parents, you need to know when to argue and when not to argue with your children, because some lessons are better caught than taught. And so the father, though he is heartbroken because he knows exactly what his son is saying, he then goes and divides up all that he has, not just to give to that son. Read the text. You will realize that he divided up the story goes on to say that not many days hence, the young man having a pocket full of money, maybe a chest full of money, because I'm sure that this sounds like a wealthy father. And by the way, this is a wealthy father, because and I don't know if you know that there is a song that says, "My father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands with rubies and diamonds." Oh, mercy. You need to walk out of here when you leave here with a puffed up chest saying, "My daddy owns the world. My daddy is a trillion." Oh, they're wanting to get trillionaires now. Yeah, yeah. My daddy is a zillionaire. My daddy has it all. Not many days hence, it says the young boy packed up the stuff. Now look at this. He wants the stuff that his daddy has, but he doesn't want the house rules. So he doesn't mind taking his daddy's stuff, because it's not his stuff. I have a friend of mine who, he tells the story, a preacher friend of mine. He says his son came to him and says, "Daddy, I'm leaving the house." And he says, "Okay, go ahead." He said, "I'm not coming back." He said, "Okay, fine." He said, "You're not going to stop me?" He said, "No, I'm not stopping you." And so the boy went to the room and packed up his clothes in a suitcase and was leaving. And father was sitting on the couch, and his father said, "But the suitcase belongs to me." "So please leave the suitcase here." So the young man left the suitcase and took up a little bag. In Jamaica, we'd call it scandal bag, but yeah, a Walmart bag, and he packed his clothes in it, and he was leaving, and his dad says, "But the clothes belong to me." So he dropped the clothes, and he was walking out, and his dad says, "But the clothes you're wearing, are also belong to me. So go ahead and just leave them right here, and then you can go." Of course, at that point, the young man realized that he's not going to step out of the house in his birthday suit. So he took up his little stuff and went back in to live under the rules. Not many days hence, the story says, the young man packed up his stuff and he left, and he went to a far country. He goes to a far country because he does not want any influence of his father on him. You know, I went to Oakwood back in the 1980s, where I met your pastor. And back then, and I don't think it has changed now, there were those individuals who were leaving, but I believed, because I was brought up by Jamaican parents, that they could see everywhere. And so there was a nightclub that was close to Oakwood back then called After Dark. I made sure after living. By the way, when you have money, you've got friends, so-called friends. A matter of fact, if you should win a bunch of money right now, you will start getting phone calls from relatives you never knew you had. "Oh, I'm your cousin, so-and-so. Through your Uncle Joe, Aunt Esmeralda." All kinds of folk. And this young man spent his money the way he felt. Now, you must understand that this young man is saying that, Daddy, give me my portion of the money because I can invest my money better than you can invest the money. And so he took his money and he spent it any way he wanted to spend it. There's a young person that is listening to me today, or will listen to me tomorrow, or maybe next month, next year, whatever the case may be. Stay at home. Because you think that it is better out there, but it's worse. Now, don't get me wrong. If it's an abusive home, then get some help. Call for some help. By the way, abusive home doesn't mean make up your bed. Abusive home doesn't mean pick up the trash. Abusive home doesn't mean wash the dishes. Abusive home doesn't mean vacuum the floor. Do I have some parents here? Do not let the children play all day while you work all day. Work 8 hours for the day at somebody's job and then come home and you've got to pick up their toys. You've got to make their beds. You've got to wash their clothes. You've got to pick up their trash. Is that how your parents raised you? Then I'm saying to you, the children need chores to do. I was 8 years old and I was washing the car. Every Friday, it was my responsibility to wash the car, and my parents were fortunate enough to have two. And I told you before, I had no brothers or sisters. So who do you think had to wash? I grew up in Jamaica, and in America, you don't clean shoes. You just throw them out and get a new pair. But in Jamaica, you had to clean shoes. You know, polish. Yeah, because somebody don't know what I'm talking about. I have no clue as to what I'm talking about. Yeah. You have to get out the polish, and you've got to get out the brush, and you've got to, yes. And I had my parents' shoes to clean because Friday evening is right before Sabbath, and you can't go to church with dirty shoes on Sabbath. And so all of their shoes I had to clean. Luckily, they didn't live in America because I couldn't clean all of the, you know, when you come to America, you've got a whole closet that's just shoes. But then we had, you know, just a few pairs of shoes. I had to clean their shoes. I had to clean my shoes. I had to make sure that the garden was watered. I had to make sure that the cars were washed. I had to make sure that the turkeys were fed and the chickens were fed and they were watered. And I had my chores to do. And I had to make sure that I had a shower before sunset on Friday. Our children nowadays think they're growing up under oppression. No, you're growing up easy. You're growing up easy. I am sure that this young man had chores to do, and he wanted to live a life chore-free, so he's asking, give me the patrimony so I can go out and live my life, because this kind of life is not for me. So he went out and he did everything that he was big and bad enough to do until his money ran out. And when his money ran out, so did his so-called friends. When he had plenty money, he had plenty friends, so-called friends. When he had no money, everybody forsook him and fled. He was by himself. He's so destitute with nobody that the Bible says that he joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now he wants citizenship. And the citizen of the country, the only job that that citizen had was feeding pigs. It would have been bad for a Jewish boy to be a shepherd, because it seemed like in his house his daddy had enough individuals that even if his daddy had sheep, and I'm sure his daddy had sheep because his daddy had cows. Yeah, and I'm not making that up because I got that from the passage. That there were servants who could take care of the sheep and the cows. But his daddy did not have pigs, being a good Jewish man. Now he's relegated to feeding pigs. Says that he comes to himself. Let me remind you that God's Spirit is always working. And when we walk away from the house of God, because we feel that the house of God has too many rules. You know, when you look and you digest what Seventh-day Adventists believe, some of it can seem like too many rules. I need to leave the house. There's too much stuff. And then on top of it, they want a whole 24 hours dedicated to God. Sunset Friday evening to sunset Saturday evening. My God. What torture. I've met individuals who, when you talk to them and they've never been Seventh-day Adventist, and you tell them what you do, that you honor the Sabbath from Friday sunset to Sabbath sunset, they say, what do you do? All that time? What do you do? My God. In the wintertime, it's not that bad because the days are short, but you know, these days when the sun sets at 8:10, 8:15, you're like, good Lord. You don't say good Lord on Friday evening, but it's good Lord on Saturday evening when after you've come to church and you've done all your potlucking and there's still a whole lot of day left. You're like, The young boy said, I sit here and perish. It is amazing to me that he used the word perish. You remember there is a familiar text, and most individuals who are Christians and maybe even those who are non-Christians know a perish text. You know a perish text? Huh? What does it say? Huh? Okay. I perish. What about a New Testament text that talks about perish? Let me help you. A portion of it says, he that believeth on me shall not perish, but have ever For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When you go to the Greek and you look at the word perish that God uses there, that shall not perish, it's the same word that the young man is using, saying, if I sit here, I'm going to perish. In other words, he's saying, I'm not just going to die from hunger, but because I'm not in the house, I'm going to perish. I'm going to lose out on eternal life. And so he says, I will arise and go to my father. He's not willing that any should perish. And so this elderly man looking out, seeing this figure walking towards him, he knows how his son walks, but said, I wish you were dead. Said, I wish you were dead. If we confess our sins, Isaiah 1:18, he's willing and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Daddy runs to the boy. And they meet up somewhere. Maybe on the property, because I'm thinking that this is a big property. And as Daddy is running towards the boy, obviously there are servants that are running behind him. And he gets to his son, and he doesn't ask his son anything. He doesn't interrogate the boy. He doesn't say, look at you. You left in riches and you're coming back in rags. He doesn't say that to the young boy. Young boy starts to rehearse what he said he would tell his father. And before before he gets done, he says that the father falls on his neck and kisses him. Gives him the sign of approval. It's okay, my son. It's okay. The father turns to the servant and says, bring the best robe. Bring slippers. Because the boy left with shoes, but he's coming back barefooted. Not even shoes he had. He says, bring a ring and put it on his finger. The ring will designate that you belong to me, to this family. Let me remind you that God is still calling anybody who leaves the house to come. Told the servant, repent when somebody comes back to the house, to the fold of God. And so the father is saying to the son, to the servants, let's have a party because my son who was dead is now alive. My son who was lost is now found. Let me of the father. The party is going on of the father. The party is going on. And let me quickly bring this to an end. There is another son who never left home because he's hungry. The one who is at home doesn't come in the house because. So a relationship that is a loving relationship is a relationship that both individuals. Oh, your good looks? After a while, that will fade. Your handsome body, your muscles. The boy who is at home, he's angry because his father puts on a party for his brother. Note the words that the boy uses, your son. Not my brother, your son comes back, and now you throw a party for him. And I've been here slaving all this time, and you did not even give me a little goat, a little kid to have a party with. Note also that the father runs out to the boy who went away, and he goes out to the son who doesn't want to come in. And he says to the son, "You've been here all this time. All that is mine is yours. Is yours." It took me a while to realize, as I'm washing these cars and doing these chores, that my parents are getting older and all that is theirs is gonna be mine. So after I changed my perspective, I realized I'm not washing their car. I'm washing my car. I'm not sweeping, because we didn't vacuum out cars then. No, you had to have a brush and a dustpan to, yes. I'm not sweeping their car, I'm sweeping my car, because I'm increasing and they're decreasing. They're going down, I'm coming up. And whatever they have is going to be mine. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also. I just came by message of hope to give you a word. Stay in the house. People in the house are going to rub you the wrong way, but focus on the Father, God the Father. Don't focus on the folk that are around, because there are folk that's in the house that are lost. The boy who stayed at home was just as lost, or maybe even more lost, than the boy who left. Because he was upset when his brother came home. As a matter of fact, there are some of us in the church who know of individuals who have left the church, and they've done all that they're big and bad enough to do, and when they come back home, come back to the church, we're upset. You can't get that position. How dare you get that position? After you've done all that you've done. But the positions are not yours to give. The father didn't even make the boy a hired servant. He made him a son. Whatever you're going through, message of hope. Focus on the Father, God the Father, who has the hope and the place prepared for you. Father, we thank you for the stories that you've given, for the messages that we can receive. Father, help us not to be like the son who stayed home and yet was upset when his brother came home. Help us not to be like the brother who felt that there were too many rules and regulations at home and left. But I thank you, gracious God, that your spirit never left him. And he came back home because he was hungry for what you have provided in the house. May we continue to hunger and thirst after righteousness, I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.